This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Bloomington Review here on Friday, September 4th. Or if you're catching us Saturday morning, September 5th. Glad you're joining us here as we start off Labor Day weekend. Excuse me, it is short show Friday if you're catching us for the live show as Cloverdale is heading out to the Mustang Corral at the bottom of the hour. Chalk Talk with Joe Smith and John Callahan, Dave Novak and Terry Stoltz, all the guys have all of your coverage all season long for your high school sports right here on WGCL Radio. Next week here on the program, next Friday night, I should say, it's the city rivalry, Bloomington High School North at Bloomington High School South. So you want to make sure that you tune back in next Friday evening for that. Hopefully, though, you're looking forward to a long three-day weekend. We're going to have more to talk about in the news, but because of Short Show Friday, we're going to shift gears right away, get into our conversation with Vanessa McClary with the Kiwanis Club of South Central Indiana. Indiana Balloon Fest is coming up next weekend, so we'll talk with Vanessa about all of that good stuff. And then we'll do, in the second half, news, sports, all the other things that you need to know. Nice forecast, though, for tonight. Potentially 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 9. Partly cloudy, low around 66 tonight, and nice tomorrow morning. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. That's what you're going to need because we've got a lot to talk about with Vanessa, and all the information is going to be put up right there. Stay with us because there's lots to come right here on The Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here in the studio along with our friend and second time of Fury here on the Bloomington Review, Vanessa McClary with the Bloomington South Central Kiwanis Club, correct? Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, South Central Indiana Kiwanis Club.
Okay, and how long have you been part of that organization?
I started in Kiwanis in the year 2000 and then started this new club about 9 years ago.
Okay, and you were on last year about this time, and happy to have you back for the what annual Indiana Balloon Fest?
It's the third annual.
Third year, really?
Yes,
great.
Already.
Great, good deal. And this is taking place next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September 11th through 13th. Are those the dates?
That's correct.
Okay, and where's all the fun taking place at this year?
We're going to be at the Monroe County Fairgrounds, and we'll be there all 3 days. And the new thing this year is last year we were only there in the morning on Sunday. This year we'll be there all day.
Really? Okay. And I'm going to ask right up front because I remember the first year. You got plenty of food this year, correct?
We do.
Good.
Yes, we have a lot of vendors this year. And you know, we're growing, so it still doesn't mean we'll have enough food, but we have more food than last year, quite a bit more. So
okay.
We'll see how that works out.
Okay. Well, let's tell our listeners a little bit about the Kiwanis Club South Central Indiana, what it does, who it benefits, and just about the organization in general.
Absolutely. I always like to say Kiwanis is a global organization of volunteers dedicated to improving the world one child and one community at a time. And to me, when you hear that, it tells you a lot about Kiwanis. Mm-hmm. Each Kiwanis club is very unique in what they do for the community. Here locally, we support the Boys and Girls Club, and that's actually an international project between Boys and Girls Clubs of America and Kiwanis International. So we work locally with our Boys and Girls Club. Mm-hmm. And then Riley Children's Hospital is something we support on the district level, which means the state of Indiana. We have raised money in Kiwanis since before Riley was really a hospital. So we started fundraising before they even had brick and mortar, and I think that's pretty cool.
That is amazing. Absolutely. And then Indiana Balloon Fest came about, as we mentioned, 3 years ago and has grown. It is a wonderful event.
Thank you.
I mean, just the whole, and we'll talk about this a little bit. I know Dave Pillar last week was touching on some of the different things and all the other fun stuff, but the balloons, that's the big part of it, of course. What's the public expecting with the balloons this year?
Okay, and I think the thing that makes our festival unique in our area, usually you don't see the shaped balloons because they're very expensive. So, you know, when people wonder about a gate fee, they wonder about sponsors, it takes a lot to get them here, and they are not from our local community. So this year we have the Fireman Hot Air Balloon, and we also have the Fire Hydrant. They're coming from New York City.
Wow.
And if you'll look at that, when he's inflated, his shield on his helmet, that's the Twin Towers on there. So it's September the 11th that we're having this, and they're coming to our community. And then we have bagpipes that'll start with Amazing Grace. Then we'll have the national anthem. And I feel like, although it's a fun event, we still need to remember what happened on that day.
Absolutely.
So we'll start with that. Then for fun, we have Tweety Bird and Sylvester, and I love it. I thought I saw a putty cat, so we put that on our website. But those two will be with us. And then also we'll have another unique balloon, and it's actually called Freedom Flight, and it's a POWMIA balloon. So that'll be new to our community. And the thing I'd like to say, when you see shapes from us that we paid to get here, they will probably never be back because they're very expensive. So we want every year to have new shapes. So when you come out, it's new and exciting for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not only do we have the balloons and everything, but there's a lot of great things for community to experience as well. I know there's the Kiwanis Idol going on. I think there's some cooking things. So just give us kind of an overview of what's going to be taking place next weekend.
So one thing new this year, on Friday evening at 6:30, we're going to have a run with the balloons. So we'll have a 5K run walk that they'll take off the same time the balloons lift off. So we're thinking that's pretty neat this
year.
This will be our first annual for that. Then we have a new pageant this year. The pageant will be on Saturday. And that pageant will actually, the winner here will go on to the Indiana State Festivals Association pageant. So a chance for them to win some scholarship dollars.
Great. Good, good, good. And then, Vanessa, talk a little bit about what the cost is to come into this. Because I know this is a family-friendly event, and I think there's even a food drive going on this year as well.
Yes. So it's $20 per carload to come out.
Okay.
And you could come out Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. It's $20 per carload. But we have something new this year. You can actually buy tickets online through Buskirk Chumley or go in and purchase a ticket. And if you do an advance ticket, it's $20. Instead of $20, it's $30 for the whole weekend.
So you can get a weekend pass.
You get a weekend pass for $30.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and you can come and go as you please. So it means you pay for your family all weekend. So you can look at it as $10 a night.
Great.
And be out there all day and night.
And you do that through the Buskirk website, I assume, or go up to the box office?
They can go to the box office, they can go to Buskirk's website, or they can go to our website, and there's links there and on our Facebook page as well.
And we're going to put all of these links at facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview, and then we'll also put them up on our podcast website, WGCLRadio.com. So don't worry if you don't get any of the details. If you're listening right now, we'll get all of that stuff put up for you online and on our website.
And the only thing I'd like to say about the weekend pass, if you will look at our schedule, every day is completely different. Mm-hmm. So if you're wanting to come out and see a little bit of everything, like Friday night we have fireworks, Sunday afternoon we have what they call ice fights, where they bring the big blocks of ice, they take chainsaws, they do ice sculpting. It's the coolest thing ever. BMX bike shows on Sunday. Then on Saturday we have Kiwanis Idol, we have the pageant. And we have all kind of cool things going on then, too. So people will want to come out all 3 days, and it's best for them to get that pass for the weekend, and they can only do that in advance through the Buskirk Chumley.
I'm looking at the poster right now. When is the car show for the Balloon
car
Fest?
Car show Saturday.
Okay.
Yes.
And then Craig Brenner, local great musician,
yes,
is going to be
there.
Yes,
Craig will be there Sunday afternoon.
And then Caitlin Walker, Friday on the main stage.
Oh, and yes, I'm so glad you brought her up. Caitlin is originally from Bloomington.
Really?
So when we contacted her, she actually has a record deal now in Nashville, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
So she's going to come. She's from this community. She's coming back, and we think it's awesome to have her.
Great.
Yeah, so she's a recording artist.
Good, good, good. Okay, so this is next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September 11th through the 13th. And again, this is a wonderful benefit for the community. So talk a little bit about the funds that are raised from this event. What are they used for?
Yeah, very good. So this is the third year. And just from the first 2 years, we've given $21,000, which I think is very exciting when you think of the people it's touching. So we give money to Riley Children's Hospital, Boys and Girls Clubs of Bloomington, and then we give money to our Kiwanis Club, and then we support things like last year we helped the graduation coaches, and we helped other programs that found out we were fundraising out in the community to give back to them.
Okay, great. We're talking with Vanessa McCleary from Kiwanis is it Kiwanis Club of South Central Indiana? Am I getting it right, Vanessa?
That's correct.
Okay. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got more to talk about with the Balloon Fest next weekend, how you get your tickets, how you get the weekend pass. We're having church on Sunday even next week.
We are.
So we're going to talk about that and more. Stay with us. We'll be back in a couple minutes here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and Vanessa McCleary here from Indiana Kiwanis Club, South Central Indiana. And Indiana Balloon Fest coming up next weekend, September 11th, 12th, and 13th. In the break, Vanessa and I were talking. She's got all these different things that she's so excited about. And I said, it's better for me not to ask questions, but just give you the topic and let you talk on things for a minute. You mentioned something about kites at the Balloon Fest this next weekend?
Absolutely. So we are going to have giant kites. They're the size of school buses from California.
What?
They're huge. They're massive. So they're coming, and they are so excited because they've never been to Indiana before, period. So we'll be the first ones to ever have them.
you can't run and throw a kite the size of a school bus in the air. So I'll be very curious how they get these things up and moving.
Yes.
Okay. Tell me about the app, Everfest. What is the app for next weekend?
Oh, yes. I didn't know what to expect when we were approached about having this app, so learned a little more about it. And what I found is going to be very useful to people attending the festival because, first of all, it shows you in real time where you're located. So if you're trying to find restrooms, you can look at your app, and when you're standing right beside the restroom, it shows it on that app.
Oh, wow.
So that's one thing. The complete schedule is on there. So say, for instance, you want to make sure you don't miss Caitlin Walker. So you put a star beside her name, and then it reminds you about Caitlin appearing at that certain time during the festival.
Okay.
But all kind of neat things on there. It has a map, has a schedule, and then it has some extra perks as well.
Okay, we'll put the link up to that on our Facebook page as well for that. We talked about the weekend pass that you can get through the Buskirk Chumley, $30 for 3 days. So we got that taken care of. Everybody talks about the glow that takes place at night. What exactly is the glow if somebody's never experienced it before?
It's beautiful, first of all.
It is. It really is.
So the glow, the pilots are tethered to the ground. So they're not flying off. They're sitting on the ground. And then they hit their burners. And as they hit their burners, it produces a big light across the whole field. And it's just, it's beautiful.
Okay. Yeah. So definitely a nighttime experience for people.
Yes.
And if somebody, again, has never been before, can they ride in a hot air balloon if they want to?
Yes, they can. We will have rides for sale. And that's going to be on the website soon. A real ride, untethered, is about $250. And that's because these balloons are very expensive, so they have to get the money out of their balloon, but they can only put so much propane in it as they own it. So these pilots that have these balloons purchase them, then they have so many hours that the FAA will allow them to fly it, then they have to retire it. So that's why the rides seem pricey to people, but when you think about what they're doing, it's just like an airplane ride, less than an hour.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Tell me about... we mentioned this before the break. We've got church scheduled on Sunday morning as well.
We do. You know, we were thinking about the people that would love to come out, and we normally wouldn't get them till 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So what we're going to do, the balloons are there very early. We have breakfast. Then we have balloons taken off. And after that, they'd have a church service, and that's going to run from about 9 a.m. until 10 in the auditorium at the fairgrounds. Once they're finished there, goes right into the entire day. So it'll start off with BMX bike shows. It'll have the ice fights. Then we have entertainment in the afternoon. And one thing that I think is cool, and it's not on Sunday, but I want to make sure I mention it, on Friday and Saturday, we have a hit and miss engine there. We have an Amish young man that's going to bring a hit and miss engine, and he makes homemade ice cream with it. I just think that's so interesting for kids to learn about that.
I think that every kid who gets homemade ice cream, there needs to be the hand churn paddle, though, that they need to take a few swings to understand what exactly is necessary. Because you and I probably at one point, if we were kids, did you ever get homemade ice cream as a kid?
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
We had the old school hand paddle, and the little kids got to start, and then as they wore out, the older kids had to. So by the time you were 14 years old, you were churning with all your might,
yes,
kind of thing. Okay. What time do the gates open if people want to see the liftoff early in the mornings on, is it Saturday and Sunday for the lifts?
Yes.
Okay.
So it'd be 6 a.m. The gates will open. And we want to keep encouraging people to come out early because there's a lot of traffic that's involved with this event. And the thing we've learned as we travel, we've traveled the United States looking at different hot air balloon festivals, and they all have long lines coming in view the balloons. So we like to remind people, leave early, have plenty of time. That way you're not rushed trying to get through the gate.
Now, I remember when I was there, I came the first year, there was a safety fair also for kids and families who attend. So talk a little bit about what's going on. Well, when is the safety fair this year?
I'm so glad you asked. It's been on Saturday for several years, and we're moving it to Sunday. So we're making an expo out of it. So we'll be on Sunday, and the families can come out and once again get the Identikid cards. They like to come get them every year. They take a picture of the child, get their fingerprint, and then the parents have current information about their child in case they'd ever be lost or anything. So again, that's Sunday from 1 to 5, and it'll be in the commercial building this year instead of the auditorium.
Okay. And we mentioned a food drive earlier. Talk about the food drive and who that's going for.
Okay. And I'd also like to say on the Health and Safety Fun Fair, we have a sponsor that's taking care of that entire event this year. So we'd like to thank Cook Medical for that.
Sure.
Yeah, very impressed with them. So the food drive, that's new this year as well. So what they're going to do is after they pay to come through the gate, they're going to take any non-perishables to the commercial building, and they will drop that off at the Kiwanis booth. And for every non-perishable that they bring, they'll get a ticket. And the ticket will go in a drawing to win a free hot air balloon ride.
Great. Very
so
nice.
So we thought that was great for Hoosier Hills Food Bank because we know that they're low on food right now. And what a great way for us to give back to them as well.
Have you been up in a hot air balloon?
Not exactly. It's because I don't have time. I was going to go with Smokey last year.
Even
and
prior
I didn't
to
have time.
The Indiana Balloon Fest, you hadn't been up in one. I didn't know if it was.
No.
I have a thing of heights.
It's not heights. I would love it. Our daughter went last year, and she said she'd go every year.
Really?
But I'd love to go. I just don't have time with the planning and everything with
we
the Balloon
to
Fest.
We need to make time for you. You deserve that 1 hour up in the air to just look out on all the things and how cool this
It'd
is.
It'd be awesome. So hopefully at some point I can.
Okay. All right. And again, you mentioned your sponsors. You've got some great folks who helped put this event together for you guys.
Yes. I'd like to start with Oliver Winery. You know, the first year that we did this, it was just a dream that I had, and I went and talked to them to see if they'd be a sponsor. And I asked them for a certain level of sponsorship, and they said absolutely. So I want to thank them. You know, they came on board the first year, and this is their third year with us. Then also we have Reach High Consulting. And I didn't know a lot about Reach High. They work with kids that have autism. So they came to us and said they thought it was a good match for them, and they came on board last year, and they're with us again this year.
Wonderful. Good.
And so we mentioned Cook. They're doing the Health and Safety Fun Fair for the Children's Expo. And then this year, for the first time on Friday, we have fireworks, and we'd like to thank Electrical Workers number 725 for coming on board and taking care of that for us. What a great local to step up and do that.
So we have fireworks. We have balloons. We've got kites the size of school buses, which still I'm trying to wrap my hands around that. All kinds of great music throughout the entire weekend there. And get your tickets in advance, and you've great opportunity, $30 for 3 days. And that is your cover charge, correct? It's just the carload fee?
That's right. So that covers their parking as well as their admission in for everybody in their car. We think that's very reasonable for families.
And I know that we are in radio, kind of the theater of the mind, but Vanessa was kind enough to bring in one of the awards for the barbecue competition as well. When's the barbecue competition?
They come in from all over the United States. So they'll come in. It's a sanctioned event. So they come in Saturday night. They cook all night. And then they compete on Sunday. And the only time we'll get a chance to really taste their barbecue is during the People's Choice Award.
So it is not a for sale kind of thing so much.
It's for sale.
Okay.
During the competition part of it, that's the People's Choice.
Okay.
But then they are really obligated to what they're doing. So one thing we'll get out of it, they will cook an extra piece of meat. And when they cook that, it'll all be donated to Backstreet Mission. So they'll do that for us locally as well for their mission.
Great. Okay. And I'm looking on the schedule again, IndianaBalloonFest.com. Sunday the 13th is actually a Grandparents' Day as well. Did I see that?
Yeah. So we're going to honor grandparents on that day. And so we have some special things for people we're honoring. So an example would be we're going to have chair massages for them where they can go and get a chair massage. And we have other surprises for them while they're there that weekend.
You have just a very cool weekend planned.
Well, thank you.
You really do. We're going to put all the information at facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Anything else, Vanessa?
Just a couple of things. I just wanted to thank a couple of our sponsors that I did mention a while ago. Midwest Color Printing, whenever you see our banners, whenever you see our flyers, they're the ones designing. I think they do a wonderful job. So thanks, Miranda Richardson, for all you're doing for us. And then also Smithfield Communications. They put together a commercial for us, and it ran on not just our local networks, but it actually went to the Indianapolis market and had 1 million viewers. So I wanted to thank Smithfield for helping us with that. And then last but not least, I'd like to thank the Van Buren Fire Department, because they come out and there are EMTs and they help us through the whole weekend. So we want to thank all of our sponsors.
All this is going to be at facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview and at WGCLRadio.com as well. We've got to go. If you're catching us on Friday, Cloverdale at Edgewood in just a couple minutes. If you're catching us Saturday morning, more here with the Bloomington Review. Vanessa, anytime you want to stop by, you're always welcome.
Well, thanks
for having
me.
And I hope you get your hot air balloon ride.
Me too.
All
thanks
right.
so much.
We'll be back in a couple minutes here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here in the studio now on Saturday morning, because as we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, it is Short Show Friday, and If you've been listening for the full hour, you know that introduction that I did was a little bit on the rapid side, but I wanted to make sure with Vanessa's time and talking about Indiana Balloon Fest that we were able to cover everything that we needed to do. So we flip-flopped things a little bit this week, putting the news and sports in the second half of the program. But appreciate everybody who's tuning in on Saturday morning after the Edgewood-Cloverdale game. Last night also was Bloomington High School South playing at Franklin Central, Bloomington High School North at Columbus North. So I don't have the scores for that, and you hear that every week when Mr. Pillar and I talk about still recording the show on Friday evening and the football games are taking place. So Glass in the Morning normally would be on Monday morning, but because of Labor Day weekend, Glass is taking a well-deserved morning off, and In the Zone is actually going to be off on Monday as well for Labor Day. But again, we'll have Joe Smith reports next week. We'll give you all your updates from the weekend's games as well. Excuse me, as next week comes around. Of course, WGCLRadio.com, we're streaming over there 24/7, so make sure that you check that out. Like us on Facebook as well, WGCL Radio. You can also find The Bloomington Review on Facebook as well at facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Your forecast for the remainder of the weekend is looking pretty nice for this three-day weekend. Saturday, today, mostly sunny with a high near 89. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 67. And then on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 89. Now, I tell you all of this, it's going to be hot and doesn't feel too muggy, I don't think. But come Monday, as Jimmy Buffett sings, the rain is predicted. We're expecting about a 50% chance of rain early parts of next week. And, of course, all your weather all the time here on WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. I would be remiss if I did not mention two things. Number one, I apologize for the scratchy throat this weekend. Not sure what's going on there, so I'm chugging water. Mr. Pillar, though, is on assignment and should be back in the studio next week when we have Dana Thompson, a friend of mine. You might know Dana and her husband, Jared. They own the Comedy Attic here in Bloomington. But Dana's going to be coming on with a special cause near and dear to her heart, the Walk to End Alzheimer's. So Dana's going to be on next week, and I believe she's bringing a friend with hers as well to talk about the walk and what it means to her and her family and how the community can get involved with that as well. So that's going to be on the show next week here on the Bloomington Review. Let's get you some local news, shall we? Very unfortunate situation on a Thursday morning took place when a Martinsville man was killed and his wife injured after their motorcycle struck a passenger car on Highway 37 and Victor Pike on the south side of Bloomington Thursday morning. Philip Pratt was pronounced dead at Indiana University Bloomington Hospital, and his 62-year-old wife, Linda, was remaining in critical condition as of Thursday evening. Police report that Pratt was headed south on Highway 37 on a 1997 Harley-Davidson motorcycle, ran the red light at the intersection there at Victor Pike, and struck a 1992 Mercury passenger car. The Pratts were both ejected from their motorcycle. Helmets were found at the scene, but police could not determine if they were being worn at the time of the crash. Very unfortunate situation, and I feel so bad for this family, but I hope that everybody who is listening to this radio broadcast, Highway 37 right now is very treacherous. Between the south side of Bloomington and going up towards the Oliver Winery area. It's not so treacherous because of curves and things as just the construction that is taking place. And when you have vehicles who do not pay attention to what the speed limit is now through the area, which if you look, most of the time it is 45 miles per hour, not 55, not 60, not 65. So my point is, slow down. If you are traveling on Highway 37 through the west side of Bloomington, you've got to be paying attention. There is no need for tailgating. There is no need for cutting across lanes and what have you. Very unfortunate situation, the loss of life on Thursday. There have been multiple accidents. Police are out patrolling it. They can't be there all the time. That's why speed limits are in place, and that's why people should be driving defensively. So I hope that people listening to this, if you are out on the west side of Bloomington, make sure that you drive appropriately and accordingly and obey the speed limits, because nobody wants an accident. Come on, let's just be smart about that. Enough on that topic. On the city scene, from the Herald Times, Bloomington has taken what Mayor Mark Kurzan calls a significant step forward in making the dream of a certified technology park a reality. The city announced on Wednesday that it has signed a letter of intent with Flattery and Collins. They are an Indianapolis-based real estate developer to develop nearly half of the property the city acquired for the Tech Park, which it is branding as the Trades District. Now, it's still early in the process, and there are a lot of steps to go, according to Denise Alano-Martin, who is the city's Director of Economic and Sustainable Development. The hurdles to come include passing project and purchase agreements, as well as the city's plan commission must also approve site plans and likely will have to approve some variances. The proposed agreement transfers almost 6 acres of the 12, as well as two of the four historic Showers Brothers buildings to Flattery and Collins without any purchase cost. However, in exchange, the Indianapolis firm has agreed to invest $40 million to $43 million in a mixed-use development and to reuse the two historic buildings as tech and office or retail space. Now, that's in addition to about $1 million to $2.5 million the city has available from tax increment financing monies for infrastructure after a bond issue earlier this year. Flattery and Collins is also guaranteed to pay at least $500,000 per year in property taxes for the next 10 years upon completion of the project. So that's a guaranteed $5 million in revenue from a property that has been tax-exempt for generations. Mayor Cruzan said in the Herald Times that the figure is likely to be higher depending on the property's future value after it is developed. The initial designs call for a 200,000-plus square feet of apartments, as well as 15,000 to 20,000 square feet of tech office space aimed at second-stage companies, retail space, and other mixed-use space, according to Denise Alano-Martin. She said that it includes about 17,000 square feet for a new headquarters for Bloomington-based Envisage Technologies Corporation. Flattery and Collins has committed to build in energy-efficient ways to create and maintain a green space that will be open to the public and to build, own, and operate a parking facility for tenants and other parking needs. So we'll see how this shakes out in the days and weeks ahead, but it's a very nice venture nonetheless. We talked last week or the week before about Bill Williams and his retirement from the County Highway Department. Well, a veteran from the facility is going to be filling the vacancy temporarily following Mr. Williams' departure this coming Friday. Lisa Ridge has been with the Highway Department for almost 30 years and was selected by the commissioners to replace Williams as the county's public highway director. He announced his resignation last month to pursue an opportunity with Kreider & Kreider after 37 years with Monroe County. Lisa Ridge has been working in the department as a secretary and then the operations manager since 1997. She appreciates the opportunity, according to the Herald Times, looking forward to continuing a variety of ongoing projects. And Mr. Williams, who is a great guy and very well informed about a variety of things in this role, said part of what made the department work with the assistance of staff such as Ridge, adding there are some projects that became a reality in part because of her work. And, quote, I think the commissioners made a great choice in hiring Lisa as the interim director. So looking forward to her taking the helm there. Marty Hawk was on Glass in the Morning on Wednesday morning, and there was plenty to talk about with the raises the county commissioners had been wanting, the county council, excuse me. So while the Monroe County Council acknowledges the work that the county commissioners do, it's going to hold off on approving any significant salary increase for right now. Council unanimously voted Tuesday to limit the 2016 salary increase for each Board of Commissioners member to $500. That is the pay increase. That's not their salary, the pay increase. Instead of approving the $7,500 to $8,200 raises for the commissioners that had been requested by Commissioner Julie Thomas. Marty Hawk talked again about this on Wednesday. Council member Shelley Yoder said she acknowledges the hours the commissioners spend in service to the county, but with a challenge ahead to reduce a deficit of about almost $2 million in the county option income tax and general funds, plus with weighing the ability to give employees a cost of living adjustment, the request was simply not feasible. As an alternative, as we mentioned, and since data provided ahead of the hearing showed that the salaries of county commissioners are below average and the county council is above average when compared with peer counties, Yoder proposed the council forego its $500 cost of living adjustment, and that idea did not sit well with Marty Hawk. But that's what happened, ladies and gentlemen. Also on the local news here, Bloomington Police Chief Mike Dekoff is part of a 21-person team of law enforcement officials, health experts, and state legislators that have been assembled by Indiana Governor Mike Pence to improve the state's response in treating and preventing drug abuse. Pence's office contacted the Indiana Association of Chiefs of Police, seeking a representative for what is being called the Governor's Task Force on Drug Enforcement, Treatment, and Prevention. Dekoff, as president of the association, took on their responsibility. The governor assembled the task force as an estimated 20 counties across the state seek approval for needle exchange programs to prevent the spread of disease among IV drug users, intravenous drug users. We've talked about this several times over the last few weeks. Monroe County Health Department officials recently declared that the county's 83% increase in hepatitis C cases a local public health emergency. That's the first step toward a local needle exchange program. Indiana had the 16th highest drug overdose rate in the country in 2013. Heroin overdose deaths across the state have increased tenfold from 2005 to 2013, according to the governor's office. And in Monroe County alone, heroin overdoses treated at IU Health Bloomington Hospital have increased more than 50% in a year's time. In fact, of the 16 local drug and overdose deaths this year, 7 have been attributed to heroin. We're going to take a break, come back with sports, give you some updates on that, and then wrap up the show. There's plenty to talk about then because we've got all kinds of fun stuff for Labor Day. Stay with us. We'll be back here on the Bloomington Review. There's plenty to talk about on the sports scene here on your Saturday morning on WGCL. Of course, WGCL is your home to Cincinnati Reds baseball coverage. Not too much longer in the season. We've got a game this afternoon at 1:10 when the Reds take on Milwaukee. And then two games next Tuesday and Wednesday, 7:10. So right after your local programming here on WGCL, the Reds welcome Pittsburgh into town. And then next Saturday, which I believe it's in the afternoon, but I'm not 100% sure, the St. Louis Cardinals are coming to Cincinnati there. So just four games over the next week, Saturday to Saturday. But of course, you can check that all out at WGCLradio.com. Now, as we mentioned a little bit ago, WGCL is your home for high school sports and high school football. We had all that conversation early on in the program. And last night, Cloverdale at Edgewood. I don't have a score because we're doing this on Friday night. We also had Bloomington High School South taking on Franklin Central, Bloomington High School North taking on Columbus North. I don't have that information for you either because we're recording Friday night and I don't know what the score is. So next week here on WGCL, though, for high school football, we have the city rivalry. Bloomington High School North headed to South, Bloomington High School South, next Friday evening, 6:30 for Chalk Talk with Joe Smith, John Callahan, and then the kickoff right at 7 o'clock p.m. here on the show, or on the station. Don't forget also, we've got plenty of football for you as well on the professional side, NFL. Colts played on Thursday night against Cincinnati. Their next game is a week from Sunday, September 13th, 1 o'clock kick. That'll be here on WGCL Radio. You can go to WGCLradio.com and click on the sports link, go to the NFL schedule, and you can see all the different NFL games that we're going to have here on the station. We've got games Mondays, Thursdays, and Sundays. Every primetime NFL game. We've got select Sunday games when the Colts are not playing. So you can check all of that stuff out over at WGCLradio.com. And we're going all the way to the Super Bowl in February. So this is your home for football over the next several months. Get in your comfortable recliner. Put on your flannel pants, dads. Grab your beverage of choice. Grab your nachos. And just enjoy what we can provide to you for free here on WGCL. Thursday morning, it all came out. Not the air, but the court ruling. Tom Brady's suspension from the NFL was suspended, was dismissed, was let go, was removed. So I think maybe Deflategate is done. Now that the discussion has happened at the water cooler, how many times at your place of business or you've read 10 million stories on social media or whatever the case may be, at this point, I don't know if anybody cares. I think they do a little bit, and if you're a Patriots fan, you got what you wanted. If you're not a Patriots fan, you didn't feel like you were heard. I don't know. At this point, there's really not much more to be done. The fallout from the NFL is going to be very interesting to see how that shakes out. And again, Colts are taking on New England in just a couple of weeks in the regular season, so that will be a very interesting game. Because as you'll recall from all the Deflategate, that last matchup towards the end of the season is where all the hullabaloo began. In other news that has also been talked about much over the last several days, the three IU men's basketball players and their antics and shenanigans. Hannah Mascara-Perea was found to be in the car along with Holt. And, you know, we talked a lot about this more last week, and I'm not going to get into it. Thomas Bryant's going to face internal team discipline. Holt has been dismissed. You know, it's just all about choices. And these are great examples, parents, to talk about with your kids of things that happen that should not have happened. So, I don't really know what else to say about it. Basketball season hasn't even begun yet, but football season has. Today, 4 o'clock kickoff against Southern Illinois. Chuck Crabb on Friday morning with Mike Glascott talked all about that. You can go to iuhoosiers.com and get all the details of the first home game of the season. Been a little bit of concern about Xander Diamant and his ability to play. You know, it's just there's just a lot of things going on again there with the football Hoosiers, and hopefully we're going to see some good things this season. There's been a lot of talk about it. There's been a lot of pressure on Coach Wilson and his future and what we've got going on. So let's see what we can do, and let's hope for the best for the Hoosiers as they take on Southern Illinois today, and then next Saturday at 9 o'clock. No, that's not right. I think it's a 7 o'clock kick against Florida International. I have to check my notes there. I think I had a mistype, but that's next weekend. Also in the news, former Indianapolis Colt linebacker Josh McNary was found not guilty Thursday afternoon of rape and other charges. He'd been charged with criminal confinement and battery as well, and according to the Indianapolis Star, he said he's going to try and continue his football career. Said it was just a traumatic and tragic experience. After meeting a woman in a downtown Indianapolis bar, they went to his apartment. He says things were consensual. She said things were not. And the jury has come back and said that he is not guilty. So we will see what the next steps are for Josh McNary there. Mr. Piller sent me a story that he wanted to make sure that I shared with all of our listeners. And I think this is actually a really cool opportunity as well. For those of you who want to be part of youth sports in our community, IHSAA, the Indiana High School Athletic Association, they're looking for sports officials. And there's going to be a recruiting fair at Jackson Creek Middle School where you can meet Mr. David Piller. This is taking place next weekend, next Saturday, September 12th, starting at 10 o'clock in the morning. And it's to promote high school officiating in all IHSAA sanctioned sports that have officials. And there's a long list of this. Football, volleyball, cross country, soccer, basketball, wrestling, swimming and diving, gymnastics, baseball, softball, and track and field. Virtually anything that you can think of on the youth sports league. You can become a part of this. You can get involved and be part of high school sports. They need both men and women. They need young and old. They need people with no experience, and they need people with sports experience. All you have to do is come check it out. Come and listen. There's no cost to go. IHSAA.org has the information. Next Saturday, Jackson Creek Middle School, 10 a.m. No cost for that. And we'll put the details up at facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview as well as the WGCL radio.com page. We're going to take a break. Come back. We'll wrap up some of the fun stuff taking place in Bloomington, Monroe County this Labor Day weekend. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here in the studio at WGCL. Again, facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. If you missed any part of the show, you can check that out. You can also go to WGCLradio.com, and we'll have all of the information there for you. Special thanks again to Vanessa McClary from the South Central Indiana Kiwanis Club and Indiana Balloon Fest. I know it's a lot of information that she shared early on in the program, but again, we'll have all of that on our Facebook page or on the WGCL podcast in just a little bit. So check out WGCLradio.com and catch all of that. It is a wonderful event. It is a great community event. It is a great family event. So if you have free time next weekend, number one, go get your weekend pass because you can save a fair amount of money with that, and head out to the fairgrounds next weekend and check out Indiana Balloon Fest. Forecast for this weekend is not looking too shabby. Excuse me. Saturday today, mostly sunny with a high around 89. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 67. And then Sunday, tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high near 89. About a 40 to 50% chance of rain early next week. So again, all your weather all the time right here at WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. Now, our friend Julie Warren is an exceptional lady on many, many ways, of course. She is the Director of Tourism for Visit Bloomington. She is a fantastic guest here on the Bloomington Review and a fantastic guest on Glass in the Morning here on WGCL every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. And she puts out the wonderful list of things to do every weekend in Bloomington. And this weekend, with it being Labor Day, there is no exception for all the good stuff taking place. And we'll hit some of the highlights here. We talked before about the IU home football game against Southern Illinois. 4 o'clock kick for that, so that's taking place today. But for the whole weekend long, you got the 7th Annual Bloomington Comedy Festival that is tonight, Friday night, or excuse me, Saturday night, 8 and 10:30. Mo Mitchell, Bob Nugent, and Doug Drury are going to join the finalist David Britton, Stephanie Lochbiler, as they show off their skills and compete for some great comedy. So that's going to be taking place this weekend at the Comedy Addict. And with that, Dana Thompson from the Comedy Addict, she and her husband Jared on that, is going to be on the show next week here talking about the walk to end Alzheimer's, excuse me. So that's going to be on next weekend here on the Bloomington Review. This weekend, though, it's the 4th Street Festival of Arts and Crafts all day today and all day tomorrow on Sunday. Wonderful event, 4th and Grant Street, glass, pottery, paintings, photography, jewelry, all this kinds of stuff. It's all kinds of great art. More than 120 different artists are bringing their skills, their talents from not only locally but all across the country and internationally as well. So check out the 4th Street Festival. Then, don't get too close to the people who attend, but you've got to check out the Garlic Festival today and tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. at the Waldron Hill and Buskirk Park. That's on South Washington Street. This is a free event. It's open to the public. It's local food, live music, kids zone, competition in different types of cooking, a beer garden, and more. They're going to have all kinds of great musicians and all kinds of garlic. I love garlic on pizza, on chips. I mean, there's a lot of things that garlic can go with quite well. So make sure that you check out the Garlic Fest. And then Wonder Lab is having their cave challenge today, 12:30 to 4:30. And then on Sunday, tomorrow, 1:30 to 4:30. This is happening at Wonder Lab on 4th Street. Your kids can learn about cave formation and ecosystems. You can crawl through a giant indoor cave. It's just all kinds of cool stuff. So make sure that you check that out at Wonder Lab. Visit Bloomington.com has all kinds of great information for you, so check that out. And again, Julie Warren is on here regularly. I think she's going to be on again in November, and we'll talk about some of the things coming up on the holiday scene. Again, Dana Thompson will be on the show next week talking about the walk to end Alzheimer's. I know that we've got Kurt Dernal from the Indiana State Police going to be joining us in a couple of weeks. Kurt, if you're listening, you didn't know that, but I will get you invited for sure. Also have Skip Chambers and Michael Carter from the Monroe County History Club coming on in a couple of weeks. We've got a lot of cool stuff lined up for you. So as always, facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview and also WGCLRadio.com for all of that as well. Again, Monday morning, Glass is taking the well-deserved Labor Day holiday off, and then Monday evening, no In the Zone here on WGCL. But again, have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. Be careful out there, everybody. And we'll talk to you next week, and hopefully Mr. Pillar's back in the studio as well. Have a great one. We'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.